Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kesubas Daf Yud. We are going to begin about 7 lines from the top with the word Tana, and we're learning today Le'ili Nishmas Martha Boyarsky, Malka Bas Rev Shlomo. All the Nishmas we learn for shall have to leave from our learning. So we begin 7 lines up from the top, Yud Omud Aleph with the Braisa, Tana. I mentioned yesterday, we brought down the first part of this Braisa, where we had that Rav Shimon ben Elazar's opinion was that the Ksuba is Midirabbanon. The 200 and 100 respectively for a Basula and Almana is a Dindirabbanon, and therefore as a result, we understood why Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel had said that Heim Amru veHeim Amru, just like the rabbis instituted the Ksuba, they could say, if the man says Pesach Pasuach Motzasi, so then she loses her Ksuba, as opposed to Rabbi Elazar's opinion, which says that she doesn't lose her Ksuba, and Rava had explained why, because nobody would go to the trouble of making a big wedding and then just the day later go and say Pesach Pasuach Motzasi if it wasn't true, and therefore he would be mafsid his wife, the Ksuba. Now, Tana. This price it tells us that since it's a kenas, that the rabbi set up the ksuba, lo tigba elemini ziburius. So the woman, when she does collect the ksuba, since the rabbi set it up as a kenas, so therefore she's only able to collect from the most weakest, the worst properties that the man has when she goes and collects the ksuba from him. Gemara says the obvious question that all of you are thinking, kenasa, my kenas? What are we talking about? It's a knas. The rabbi set it up in order to make it less likely that the husband will divorce his wife. There'll be financial penalties. He won't be so quick to divorce his wife to protect the Neshe Yisrael, the holy Jewish women. So the rabbis, according to Rishon Lezion, set up this concept of a ksuba. So what are you talking about? A knas. Someone says, you're right. Doesn't mean a knas. Elo Ema. The right lashon of the bride should be, oh, the takanas chachamim, since this was the takana that the rabbi set up for the Benos Yisrael, that they should be protected. So therefore, since it is for their benefit, so the rabbi said, okay, so we're not going to let you go and collect. However, lo tigba ela min ha-ziburis. We won't let you collect from the best lands or even the middle type of lands that the husband has. If he has more than one type of land, so then you have to collect from the least good of those lands, the most inferior of those lands, the ziburis. Okay. Now we have Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer Kisubas Isha Ben HaTorah. As I mentioned at the beginning of the Shia, and I mentioned yesterday, we have Rav Shimon Ben Elazar who says that Kisubas Dirabbanon. And now we bring down in this price that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer Ksubas Isha Min HaTorah. He says that Ksuba is a din de oraisa. It's based upon the pasuk, as we'll see, Kesef Yishko Kimoar Habisulos. So this is a drasha de oraisa, which we'll see more in a moment. And let's go weiter. The Gemara questions this and says, really? Is this Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion that he holds it's Ksuba Min HaTorah, Min HaOraisa? Umi Yomar Rav Shimon Gamliel Hochi. Well, Tanya, we have a Braisa that says otherwise. In this opinion of the Braisa, the way we have it, Rav Shimon Gamliel is the one that says it's Min HaRabbanan. What does the Braisa tell us? But Tanya, Kesev Yishkol Kimoar B'Sulos, this passage that I just pointed out, where it talks about Rahmanul Islam, if a man is mafato or ma'anes, he either seduces or he assaults a woman, so then there are certain penalties that he'll have to pay if he doesn't marry the woman. And under certain situations, he's never allowed to divorce the woman if he does go and marry her. But the pasuk tells us that he has to pay kimoar habisulos. He has to pay like the normal amount that is given to a basula. Shehe ze kimoar habisulos. And we learn out Umora Abisulos Kazet. And likewise, we learn it back and forth that the Mora Abisulos is like the payment that a ones has to pay if he doesn't marry the woman. Rashi points out in Dibur Amaslo Kimora Abisulos. He says, this is written, Ha'omor Bima'anis is Absul. If a man goes and assaults a Basula, so Kansu Akasov Nun Kesef Bishul Moa Abisulel. So there's a penalty if he doesn't marry her of 50 Kesef. And then the next Rashi, she is a Kimora Basulos, Hekish as Kosov Knas and Mefata, the Knas Onis. So we make an analogy over here between these two, the Mefata and the Onis. Malahala Nun Avkanun. So we say they're both 50. Uma Kesef or Omur Kan Shkolim. They'll see Yishkol, Kimora Basulos Yishkol. So that teaches us it has to be from Shkolim. Avlahalan Shkolim. The low tame of most. Don't say that it's a different type of silver, an inferior type of silver coin, but it's talking about Shkolim, which is a much more expensive type of a coin. So clearly, the Tanakama of this Braisa says that this is a din d'oraisa. And then who else but Rabbi Shimon Gamliel comes along? Omer no ksubas isha eino midivrei Torah ela midivrei sofrim. So this Braisa clearly says, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that the ksuba for a woman is not a d'oraisa, it's a din d'rabbanan. So we have a steer over here. We just said a moment ago, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says it's d'oraisa, and here in this Braisa it clearly says, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says it's d'rabbanan. So where it says, yeah, flip it around, epoch. The last Braisa that we just read, the Tanakama is really Rav Shimon Gamaliel, and what we have attributed to Rabbi Shimon Galil, then it's the Rabbanan, that's the Tanakama. And this way we accord that Rabbi Shimon Galil in the second Brisa is exactly the same as Rabbi Shimon Galil in the first Brisa. So this way, Rabbi Shimon Galil is the opinion that says it's the Raisa. So the obvious question is, Umay Choses the Avchis Bisraisa, Epoch Kamaisa. So why do we flip around the second Brisa and say that Rabbi Shimon Galil is the one that says in the second Brisa that it's the Raisa? Why do we say the second Brisa is authentic and flip around the first Brisa and say that Rabbi Shimon Galil says it's the Rabbanan there? So it says no, because we have proof that Rabbi Shimon Galil holds its deraisa. Ho shamin on lei the Rabbi Shimon Galil the Amak Subas Isha mid deraisa. Where do we see that? Did not. We have the following Mishnah, which we're going to learn at the very last parak, as Rashi points out. Let's look at this Rashi right now, where it says in Dibur Amaschu no sein lo mimos kaputka. So it says the parak Basra and the very last parak of this Masechta on Daf Kuf Yud, it tells us there Tnan Naso Isha be'Eretz Yisrael v'Girsha be'Kaputkia. If a man married a woman in Eretz Yisrael where the coins were of a certain type, and he divorced her when they moved to Kaputkia, so then the original Shibud. The question is, the original Shibud of the Ksuba, is it on the Eretz Yisrael coins or is it on the Kaputkia coins? So the Tanakhama says No Sein Lo Mimos Eretz Yisrael. That was the original Shibud. Shein Kalos, they are less valuable than the Kaputkia coins. But it says, Nosha Isha be Kaputkia of Girsha Eretz Yisrael. Even if you marry, the Tanakhama says, a woman in Kaputkia, so the Shibud was on Kaputkia coins. But Girsha Eretz Yisrael, nevertheless, no Sein Lo Mimos Eretz Yisrael. He's allowed to give her the inferior Eretz Yisrael coins to pay off the Ksuba. So he says, Minyan HaKosu B'Ksuba the Azlina L'Kula. The Tanakhama holds that the amount of the Ksuba he can pay off with the inferior coins. And here we have Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel coming along and saying, No Sein Lo Mimos Kaputkia. In the last case, he has to give her money from the Kaputkia coins because that's where the Shiba took place. Shnishtabi Bahen. He obligated himself to her on a Daraisa level, Kishar Malva, like any other Malva, the Ksover Ksuba Daraisa. You see from this Mishnah, Kuf Yud, that Rabbi Shimon Galil is in fact the opinion that holds that Ksuba is Daraisa. Now let's see this inside. We saw the Rashi first. Now we'll see inside the Tanan. Rabbi Shimon Galil Omer, because the Gemara starts off right in the middle of the discussion. That's why doing the Rashi gives the whole background over here. So Rabbi Shimon Galil Omer, no sin law, mimos Kaputkia. Since the original marriage wasn't Kaputkia, so the Shibud was on Kaputkia coins, which are more expensive than the Eretz Yisrael coins, and therefore, even though he divorces her in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Shimon Galil says, since this is a milva daraisa, the equivalent of a din daraisa, because the ksuba is daraisa, so therefore we see that that clearly is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Galil, because he says you have to pay her back in the mos of Kaputkia. That's why we flipped around second Bryce and have Rabbi Shimon Galil say that it's a din daraisa, because that clearly is Rabbi Shimon Galil's opinion. Okay, that's teretz number one. We could reconcile the two by saying, no, you misread the second Brisa. This second Brisa was all one big statement of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and there's Chisuri Mechzor. There are pieces of it missing. So, this is the entire Brisa. Now we'll get the entire Brisa. We'll see it's all one opinion, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and therefore there's no need to flip anything around. He's the one that holds that it's a Din Daraisa. Read the Brisa as follows. Mikan samchu chachamim l'ksubas ishim in haTorah, from the pasuk of kimoa habisulos. So that's the smach. Now, the smach is a funny word. It really means that's the din d'araisa of ksubas ishim in haTorah. Some suggest that the word samchu is because the din is the araisa, but the actual amount, that was the rabbanim. But in any event, this is a din d'araisa. Mikan samchu chachamim l'ksubas ishim in haTorah. Now, that's the ksuba of the besula. Ksuba Salmana, however, ain't no midivrei Torah, ela midivrei sofrim. But the ksuba that we give to an almana, that in fact, even Rashi Magalil admits, is a din de rabbanan, as we'll derive momentarily in the Gemara, the source of the word almana. In any event, now we have the Chesuri Mechzera over here. Ksuba Salmana, ain't no midivrei Torah, ela midivrei sofrim. Sheh, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, omer, ksuba Salmana, ain't no midivrei Torah. So this Brisa was saying that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds it to the Rabbanan. Yes, only the Ksuba of an Amon is the Rabbanan, but he clearly holds that the Ksuba of a Besula is the Raisa. So everything is reconciled. All three opinions that we have, the first Brisa we wrote down, this Brisa we wrote down with now the revision in it, as well as the Mishnah on Kuf Yud, all hold that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds the Ksuba, at least part of it, the Din for Besula is a Din Daraisa. Now the Gemara says, how the Osla came to Rav Nachman? There once was a Chosin who came to Rav Nachman, and he said, Amalei Pesach Besuach Matzasi. They got married on a Wednesday, came to the Beis Din on Thursday, and said, listen, I found that my wife wasn't a Besula. Pesach Besuach Matzasi. So the Gersa we have is Amalei, but he's really talking, Rav Nachman is really talking to the people in the Beis Din there, and he says, Amalehu, according to the Gersa of many, because he's talking to the people in the Beis Din, and Amalehu Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman tells the people in the Beis Din, give this guy Malkus. azbu kufri. Rashi explains, hilkuhu malkios bimaklos choryos shel dekel sheyesh ben uktzin. He says, go give this guy, this young chassan over here, who claims that he knows what a Pesach Pasuach is, give him malkus. Now, this is giving a malkus mid the Rabbanon. He's basically saying, take out a strong stick that has uksin on it, has little thorns on it, and really give this guy malkus over here because he's doing something terrible over here. How in the world does this young bachur, who's supposedly a virgin himself, know what Pesach Pasuach is? It must be that he comes from this city, Mevarech Hasah, and he must be dealing regularly with the zonos of Mevarech Hasah. Mevarech Hasah Chavitale, as Rashi explains in Dibur Mas Mevarech Hasah Chavitale, zonos Ir Hazoh Sheshmo Mevarech Hasah. The zonos, the prostitutes of this city of Mevarech Hasah, Chavutos Vishalchos Tomi Lefonim. They must be always in front of him, and he has relations with them. Liznos Meyachashu Baki Pesach Pasuach. So Rav Nachman said, how did this guy, this young guy, this Bacha, know what Pesach Pasuach is? It must be that he's very familiar with having relations, even though he's not supposed to be. So give this guy Malkus Mardus. How in the world should he know what Pesach Pasuach is if it wasn't for the fact that he was with all these Zonos, and therefore give him a Zetz? Tosfos Nidre Maskil Mevarech Hasah tells us the reason why he wanted to give him Malkus, Shemotzi Shema Bas Yisrael, Shari Meshaker. Tosfos says that he, no way that he could know this. He didn't really say that he's sitting there with his onus all day, and that's how he knows this. He says there's no way that he could know this. His onus chavutus lefanav, shia baki. Is he really having relations with all his onus? He wasn't saying that this guy was. He was saying that there's therefore no way that he could know what Pesach Pasuach is. Hilkach lo mehemon. Therefore, he's not believed. Now, Tosfos points out this seems to be problematic because v'omer Rav Nachman mehemon. Rav Nachman does say previously that he is believed. Rav Nachman was the one that said in the name of Shmuel that he is believed, and he says Pesach Pesuach. So Tosu says, yeah, he is believed, Mishani Mehemon, however, Umazbinon Le Kufre. This guy may mistakenly believe really what he's saying, so therefore, Shavya Anafshi Chaticha Disura. But since there's no real way that he could know, so give him Malkus Mardus for being Motzi Shemra Al Bas Yisrael. I, Rav Nachman, the Omer Azbu, lo mishum shelo haya mamino. Not because he didn't believe him. He really thought, Eloi mamino. Rav Nachman really believed that this guy thinks it's Pesach Pasuach. But he says to give him the Malkus, for Malakoso, lefishu choshud al aznus, because he's therefore suspected of being Mizana. Tosus now brings down that there's a second teretz that the Gemara is going to give in a moment, which is going to be from Rav Achai, and Tosus says, according to this opinion, that Rav Achai is going to tell us, so he says, Rav Achai Mishani, I'm reading in Tosus what the Gemara is going to say in a moment, that teretz is more like the first way that I said it, that there is no possibility that he could believe because he's a bacher. And he says, so even though we believe him, nevertheless we give him a zetz, we give him Malkus Mardus over here because of the suspicion that maybe he committed znus. I jumped ahead a little bit, now let's see this inside of the Gemara. So the Gemara asked the question, well, Rav Nachman, who did Amr Mehemet? Rav Nachman was the one who himself said, Amr Nachman, Amr Shmuel, that we do believe the person to say Pesach, Pesuach, Motzasi. So the Gemara says, the Teretz I just brought down in Tosfos, Mehemet, yes, we do believe him according to this. However, Umazbinon Le Kufri, but we give him lashes for the reason that I just said in Tosfos, because he's casting aspersions on the woman of Klai Yisrael because there's no way he would know, or because he maybe did know, and therefore we believe him, but we give him lashes because he's cohorting with these zonos. Rav Acha Mishani, Rav Acha gives a different teretz. He says, Kan b'bachur, kan b'nosu. He says, the way to reconcile the two opinions of Rav Nachman is you're dealing with two different types of people. In the situation where Rav Nachman says that there's no way he could possibly know, that's because he's a bachur. He never was married. So therefore, give him lashes for casting aspersions on the women of Klai Yisrael. Because how can you know what Pesach Pasuach has Matzasi if he's never had relations before? But if the person was a previously married man, so therefore, this is his second wife, and he knows exactly what relations are, so he says, this is not normal for a basula to be like this. So then we do believe him to say Pesach Pasuach Matzasi. That's the first opinion of Nachman on Mashmur. Another mice that comes to our attention. The Gemara says, how would the Yosel come to Rabban Gamliel? There was a certain chassid who came to Rabban Gamliel. Again, he got married on Wednesday, came to the basin on Thursday, and Amalei Pesach Pasuach Matzasi. And he told Rabban Gamliel, listen, I found that my wife didn't seem to be a besula. So Rabbi Gamliel says to him, Amalei, Shemo Hitisa, maybe you did this Hatoya, maybe you came in on a certain angle that you didn't actually break the hymen, and that's why it seemed to you to be Pesach Pasuach Mutsasi. There were those that we said that were Bekiyim and knew how to do this, so maybe you're one of those people that knows how to do this, so that's why it seemed to be totally open, when in fact she really did have her Besulim. And he said, Rabbi Gamliel said to this young man, Em Sholucho Moshul Ma Dovidomer. I'll give you an example of what this is like, that you can better understand what I'm saying. For example, this is Dome Liodum Shoya Mahalech Biishon Laila Viafela. Imagine a man walking around in the thick of night, in the black of night, and it's absolutely pitch black, and he tries to get into a door. If he slides through this door, in other words, it's only open a little bit, if you push it open, you're going to bang into the door. But if you just slide right through on an angle, hita, it's all possible. It looks like the door's really open because you're coming in at an angle. But lo hita, if you go and walk directly in, you're going to bang into the door. It's all null. It will look like the door is closed and locked in front of you. So too over here. This woman really has a basulim. There really is a door over there, so to say. But you came in on an angle, and therefore it looked to you like it was open. Where if you'd come in directly, you would have banged into the door, you would have felt the basulim, and therefore you would realize that your wife didn't have really a Pesach Pasuach Matzasi. That's the first version of this incident with Rabbi Gamliel. Ikad Yamrei, others say, this is what Rabbi Gamliel told to this young chassan. He said, Nu, Shemo b'meizid itisa. Maybe you had, now b'meizid doesn't here mean on purpose. Of course he was having relations on purpose. It means with strength, with vigor, that maybe you had relations with very big force and you smashed right through the basulim without realizing it. That's why it seemed like it was Pesach Basuach Motzosa. The akarta lidasha, the abra, it's as if you broke off the bar, the crossbeam on the door. In other words, you came in with such strength, so it appeared as if it was Pesach Basuach because you just smashed right through the basulim. And again, he gives him a marshal here, Emshul Hamashal, Lama Dovid Domer. I'll give you an example of what this is like. For example, a guy walking around in the dark, Ladam Shu Malach, Beisha Laila Bafel, it's a pitch black of night, and what happens? He reaches a door. So, Hita Bemezid, it's all possible. You smash right through the door. Yeah, the door's open. However, Lo Hita Bemezid, if you just touch the door, you just go in gently, so then, it's all no, the door seems to be closed. But if you smash right through, you say, yeah, the door was open. So, maybe that's what occurred. In any event, Rabbi Gamliel told this person, the fact that you found Pesach Pesuach Motzasi doesn't necessarily mean that she wasn't a Besula. Another story. How did Yosef come into Rabbi Gamliel Bar Rebbe? Another time, a person came in front of Rabbi Gamliel Bar Rebbe. This was a great-grandson of the Rabbi Gamliel that we just mentioned. Rebbe was the grandson, and this is Rebbe's son. So it's a great-grandson of Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel himself is the grandson of Rabbi Gamliel Hazakin. Gamliel was a very popular name in that family. So, Amalei, this chosin tells Rabbi Gamliel Bar Rebbe, Rabbi Boalti, I had relations with my Besula, but I didn't find any dam. Now here we introduce the wife, and what does she say? Armalo, the wife says to Rabbi Gamliel, but Rabbi says, Rabbi, Besula Isi. No, he's not telling you the truth. There was dam there. I am a Besula. So Armalohem, Rabbi Gamliel says to both of them, Haviuli Oso Suda. Nobody's trying to do any tricks. They're both honest, Elich, a wonderful chassan and kala. He didn't see any blood. She says there was blood. So Rebbe said, go bring me the sudar, the kerchief that you used to wipe yourself off if you had relations. So they did that. Hebi lo sudar. They're always trying to do any tricks. Ushro b'mayim. So what did Rabbi Gamliel ben Rebbe do? He soaked it in water, the chipso, and then he cleaned it. And once they wiped away the zera had covered up the little bits of blood that were there. Umatzo alof kama tipe damim. Now they found the blood. Ah! Amalo, Rebbe Gamliel says to this young chassan, Zechei b'mekchacha, go and take your beautiful wife home, and you are don't have any concerns, any worries. She really was a besula. As Rashi points out, Dibra Masel v'chibsu shahayu tipe hadamim mechusim b'shichva zera. As I said, the shichva zera from the man had covered up the little bits of blood that were over there, and therefore, once they were able to clean it and wipe it away, they were able to see the blood, and everything was fine. Now, based upon this, Amalei Huna, Mar Berei de Rava mi Parzakya, Huna, who was the son of Rava who came from Parzakya, as opposed to the normal Rava that we have in the Gemara, said to Ravashi, Nu, is this methodology that Rav Gamliel Rebbe taught us, is this a good methodology that we should use as well? Anan, Ami Navid Hachi, can we do this over here in Bavel? What Rav Gamliel did in Eretz Yisrael, is this a good methodology? So Amalei, and we turn to Yudam Adbeis, so Ravashi tells us, Huna Mar, who was the son of Rava mi Parzakya, no, our cleaning is different than their cleaning. Giyud Shalanu, our cleaning, which Rashi points out, is done by Evan Hazchuchas, which is some sort of a glass stone. Bekibu Shalanu, Kikibu Shalohem, is like their regular laundry. In other words, their regular laundering will accomplish what our giyutz does, which is a more difficult type of laundering, and our giyutz is unfortunately also going to remove the blood. So the e armis neav giyutz, and you can tell me, oh, so let's do the giyutz, and that'll be like the kibbutz. No, our giyutz is going to remove the blood. Since it removes everything from there, it's not only going to ruin the zera, it's going to remove the blood, and therefore this methodology would not be effective over here in Babel, even though it was good in Eretz Yisrael because of the different natures of the waters. As Rashi says in Kikibu Shalahan, Shayu Meimeim Yofim L'chabes. In Eretz Yisrael, the waters were better. They were able to clean away the zera, but wouldn't affect the blood that was underneath it. Or alternatively, O Samanin Yofim Hoyu Lehen L'chabes. And they added various detergents there that would be successful in removing the zera, but wouldn't remove the blood. But with Kibu Shalahan here in Babel, Ein HaBegin Melubon Ad Shiyem Aguatz. It only would work if they did the giyutz, and the giyutz would not only remove the stain of the zera, but would remove the blood as well. So in Bavel, they didn't have the option of using this choice. Another ma'aseh, how the osel kamei the Rabban Gamliel by Rabbi. Another time, somebody came to Rabban Gamliel by Rabbi. A chassan said, Amalei said to Rabban Gamliel, Rabbi, ba'alti v'lo mosasi dam. Knew I had relations, but there was no dam. So Amalei, the kala, says to Rabban Gamliel by Rabbi, Rabbi, I dying b'sulani. She says, you know why there's no dam? Because he didn't complete the act of relations. So I'm still a b'sula. I was a b'sula before we did this, and I'm b'sula afterwards because he didn't consummate the marriage. So Amalehen, so Rabbi says to them, let's test this out. Now, they didn't do a physical examination. So he said, Rabban Gamliel by Rabbi said, Haviu li shtei shvachos, bring to me two maidservants. We'll see in a moment why it was bedavka maidservants. Achas besula v'achas bula, one who is a virgin, one's a besula, and one who is not a besula, she's a beula. So one has her hymen still, and the other one does not. One has the besula, one does not. So they did this. And they put the two slave girls, the one who was a besula and the one who was a beula, on top of a barrel of wine that was open. And Ba'ula, the one who had lost the Basula, and she was Ba'ula, so you could detect the wine coming out of her mouth. The smell of the wine, the reich of the wine came out of her mouth. It went up through her body, so she didn't have the Basula blocking it. Don't ask me exactly how this works from a physiological point of view. I don't understand it. But this test, Rabbi Gamliel did, was able to demonstrate that the woman who had no Basula, the reich of the wine was able to go up through her open Pesach, and come out through her mouth, and nodech, recha nodech. But the besula, who had the besulin still present, ain recha nodech. It blocked the reach of the wine from coming up through her body and coming out of her mouth. Nope. Rabban Gamliel tested this out on these two slave girls. So avzu, now he put this kala on top of the barrel, v'lo yo recha nodech, and you couldn't detect the reach of the wine coming out from her mouth. In other words, she did have still besulin. So he told the chassid, Amalo, lech zechei mimekochacha. Says, go home, you've acquired your wife, so marry your wife, stay married to your wife. She's absolutely a besula. Your taina that you didn't find blood is because you didn't consummate the act of the marriage. Now, why did Rabbi Gamliel first bring the shtei shufachos, achas besulav, achas beula? Why not just bring the girl, the kala herself? Why do you have to go through this whole process? Why did Rabbi Gamliel by Rabbi go and do this via the two slave girls and then only bring the kala? Do it straight on the kala. So what it says, because Rabbi Gamliel by Rabbi had never done this before. He had heard about this. Gemara Havashmiele. Rabbi Gamliel had heard about this. Where did he hear about this? This is a famous Gemara in Yevamos, which tells us about the famous story of Yavesh Gilad. After Shevet Binyamin was almost wiped out with the terrible mites of the Pilegish Begiva, so that the 600 men that were left in Binyamin had nobody to marry. So they allowed them to go and marry the besulos of Yavesh Gilad. How did they know that they were besulos? So they checked them out in this exact matter. That's what the Gemara in Yevamos and Daf Samach tells us. So therefore, he knew this Gemara, but he never tried it out. Maisa lohava chazi. He never actually saw it practiced lemaisa. So therefore, he didn't want to bring, the Shita Gumetza says he didn't want to bring the Jewish girl there and have her do this, even though she would be tsanua, but she'd have to spread her legs over the barrel of the wine, the Shita says. It's pasnish to do this unless there was toelis to this. So he wanted to first make sure that there was toelis to this, that it worked. So he first brought the shvachos. And no, the shvachos, there wouldn't be such a lack of covered. They were shvachos. And therefore, he first proved that this methodology worked, and then he's willing to go and somewhat compromise the tznius of the Bas Yisrael by putting her now on top of this barrel. So that's what the Shita Mubetzis explains. So Gemara says, so the Savar, Rabbi Gamliel bar Rebbe, thought, Dilma lo kimle begavah, the mil seshapir. Maybe I won't know how to do the test right. Maybe the test doesn't work in different circumstances. So therefore, he says, v'lo v'lav arach aral is zalzule b'vnos Yisrael. For me to bring a Jewish girl here, have her spread her legs, even though she'll be covered up on top of this barrel, is pasnish. So therefore, he didn't want to do this unless he knew for certain that it worked. That's why he did it on the Shvachos first. Another ma'isa, how the Yosel Kamei the Rabbi Gamliel Hazokin. Here is by the Elta Zayde, Rabbi Gamliel Hazokin, the Chosin came to him and said, Amalo, Rebbe, Ba'alti, V'lamososi Dom. He also said that I had relations with my wife, but I didn't find any blood, so she's not a basula. So Amalo, so the Kala over here says to Rabbi Gamliel Hazokin, Rebbe, no, mi mishpacha dur kiti ani. I'm from a certain family. We mentioned this in yesterday's share. I said we get to it today. The family known as the Durkiti family. And our family is famous. She'ein lahem lo dam nida, lo dam besulim. In our family, the women don't have either nida, we don't menstruate, and we likewise don't have dam besulim. That's our genetic disposition. Nu, bodak Rabbi Gamliel b'krovoseh. Rabbi Gamliel checked this out, and he went to ask all of her female relatives. And nu, umotza kidvarah. They all don't have dam nida, and they don't have dam besulim. So, amalo. So Rabbi Gamliel Hazokin went and told the Chosin, Lech zichei b'mekchachacha. Go and take your wife. You have a perfectly good wife over here. She's not going to have dam besulim because she's from this family of Durkiti. And Ashrecha, this is actually a very good thing for you. Shezochisu l'mishpachas Durkiti, that you found such a wife. We'll see in a moment why this was a praise, or some say this is sarcastic, that it wasn't really a praise. But in any event, he says, Baruch Hashem, you have married into this family of Durkiti, and therefore you don't have to worry about Dam Besulin, and you won't have to worry about Dam Nida as well. What does it mean, Durkiti? My Durkiti? So the Gemara says, it means Dor Katua. It means a generation, a door that is katua. It means cut off. Now, why will this be cut off? So Rashi explains, she'ein lahem lo dam nida v'lo dam besulim. And therefore, that's going to be something that will be cut off from future generations, as the Gemara will now explain, that a woman who doesn't have a lot of dam nida will not have easy ability to have children. Okay. Amir Chanina, now we discussed this. Chanina tells us, Tanchum Mishal Hevel. This was a Nechama that Rabbi Gamliel Hazokin gave to this chas. He said, oh, Zechei, Ashrecha, you're so wonderful. He says that really didn't mean it. This was a Tanchum Mishal Hevel. Nichamo Rabbi Gamliel Hazokin, Lo'oso Ish. Rabbi Gamliel Hazokin, when he told this chas, oh, you're so lucky, it wasn't really meaning that you're so lucky. Because the Tani Ruchia said, Kishem Shah Sa'or Yofalisa, just like adding some yeast is very good to the dough. It makes it rise nicely. So to kach domim yofim leisha. So to a woman who menstruates a lot, has a lot of menstrual blood, that's good for her future progeny. And v'tonim yishun Rameya, likewise Rameya said, kol isha shedomim merubim baneha merubim. If a woman has a lot of menstrual blood, so then she will also have a lot of children. In other words, having the menstruation is a good thing. And therefore, this family of Dorkiti, so it's not a mekach tosim before she explained, because they were able to have children. So it's not that if you, a man marries a kala and she doesn't have a uterus, there's some congenital abnormality, she had it taken out, whatever, and he didn't know about this, so then it's a mekach tos. The marriage is null and void if he wants it, because certainly when a man marries a woman, he's expecting under normal circumstances to have children. If he knows beforehand that she doesn't have the capability and he still wants to marry her, that's a separate discussion. But in this situation, it would be a mekach tos. So it's not a mekach tos with the family of Durkiti, because they can have children, they just won't have it so easily. So therefore, it was a Tanchum Mishal Hevel, according to Rabbi Chanina, because it's not such a good thing. Don't say Ashrecha, it really wasn't Ashrecha. Then they said in the Beis Medrash, Itmar, Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, Omar, Zechei, B'mekchachacha, Amalei. Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba had the gear so that we have, go and be happy with your kinyan in a very positive way, as if it was good to marry the woman from Durkiti. And that's going to be the question we're going to ask in a moment. We just said now it's not a good thing, so how can you say it's a good thing? And Rabbi Yossi bar Avin, Omar, he said, Nischaya b'mecha amale. That what Gamliel Hazokin was telling him was, no, well, sorry, buddy, you got unlucky here, but it's a valid marriage, and there's no taina of lack of besulin here, because she's not going to have besulin, and unfortunately, this is who you married. So the two versions over here are exactly paralleling what we've been saying. Did he say a good thing, or did he not say a good thing? So Mishlo and the Man Diomen is high. According to the second version, Rabbi Yossi bar Ravin, who said that it's not a good thing. So I know the Rabbi Chanina, that goes in perfect accord with Rabbi Chanina, and Rabbi Meir said that having the blood of menstruation is a good thing. But El Man Diomen Zocha, according to the first opinion over here, Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba, and according to the simple understanding, Rav Gamliel was saying, Ashrecha, nu, mai zechusa, why is this a good thing to marry a woman who may not have such ease of having children? So the Gemara says what many of you were probably thinking, because the low osi lidis off in Ida, because he'll never have to worry about, is my wife in Ida, is my wife not in Ida? Am I allowed to have relations with her? Am I not allowed to have relations with her? If he doesn't have to worry about an Ida, so then that's a very wonderful thing, Ashrecha. Therefore, it is a good thing. Okay, maybe a little bit harder to have children, but you have to counterbalance that against the fact that you'll never have to worry about Ida Shilas through your entire marriage. Finally, one more Maisa Shahoya. How do also come to Rabbi? Here they came to Rabbi. Certain chassid came to Rabbi. Amalei said to Rabbi, Rabbi, Baalti, I had relations with my wife. The lo matzasi dam. Again, no dam besulin. Amalo, the kala says to Rabbi, that's not true. I die in besula yisi. When I got married, Rabbi, I was still a besula. We had relations, and I'm not a besula. Why didn't he find any blood? So either she said, or the Gemara says, Ushnei Batzoras Hava. It gives us background information that this was during the time of a famine. Now, I can tell you medically that when people are in a starvation state, so their entire menstrual cycle is totally different, and tissues shrink and things change, so it's very possible that this is all physiologically absolutely correct with what we understand what the Gemara is now going to relate. So this woman said that the reason why I didn't have Dam Basulim was because it was a time of famine. So Rebbe saw that this was true. Raw Rebbe Shepneim Shcharim. He saw that their faces were faces of malnutrition. They were darkened faces, ashen faces from malnutrition. So Tziva Aleihem, Rebbe was very wealthy. So Rebbe commanded to his servants, V'chnisum l'merchotz, he brought both of them into the merchotz. Now, he technically only brought in her to show that the Dam Basulim were present, but he did a chesed, and he brought both the husband and the wife into his merchotz, and he cleaned them up, V'chilum, and he gave them good food to drink, V'ishkum, he gave good drinks to drink. And then he gave them a private room, V'chnisum l'cheder, and they had relations. Baal u'motzodam. And now, even though they had relations before, the Basulin had shrunken because of their famine and starvation, so the Basulin never were broken. But now that they were revigorated, so now he had relations with his wife, and now it was able to be seen clearly that, in fact, that she had Basulin. Now they were present, they had revigorated, and now he broke them by having the relations, Omotzodam. So now Rebbe tells him, Lu, go home, Amalei, Amalei, go, come take home your beautiful wife. And Kari Rebbe Aleh, Rebbe said about them the following pasuk that we have in Eicha. Nebuch, we're going to be reading it in a couple of weeks, unless B'mehrev Yomeinu Mashiach comes and we don't have to read it this year. So Rebbe said about them the pasuk from Eicha, Sofad Oram Al Atzmam. Rashi has two different interpretations. So this, the first interpretation of Rashi is from Dunash, one of Rashi's Rabbeim. And he says, Pirush Kimo Dovak Oram Al Atzmam, that their skin clung to their bones. So the person is very dehydrated, so the skin tense. It clings closely to whatever it's attached to. So that's the first version. The second version is from Menachem, another one of Rashi's Rabbeim. Pirush Shachar Oram, that it was darkened. So their skin was darkened on their bones. Yavesh Hayokeitz, it was all dried up like a tree. So the Basulin of this woman was dried up, and that's why it wasn't broken. It had shrunken. So there was a Pesach Pasuach, even though the Basulin were present. And as soon as they were revigorated by eating and drinking, so then the Basulin came back to their normal size. And now when he had relations with, he broke the Basulin. Okay, very interesting stories. Now we're going to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Besula ksubasu masayim. Here the Mishnah tells us that the ksuba of a besula is 200 zuz, masayim zuz, which is 2 mana. Whereas for an almana, it's only mana. It's only 100 zuz, a mana. Mana is 100 zuz. Now, it doesn't tell us whether it's the rice of the Rabbanan. That's a machlokus that we had previously in the Gemara. Now, the Mishnah continues and says, Besula, who is an almano, or a grusha, or a chalutza, right? You could be a besula and still have been married because you only had the first stage of marriage. So if this is minha erisin, if she's besula because she was an almano, or a grusha, or a chalutza, but had never consummated the marriage because she was only a almano, grusha, or chalutza from erisin, so we don't expect them to have had relations. They're not allowed to have had relations. So Nebuch, her husband died in between the Erisin and the Nisuin, or her husband divorced her between the Erisin and the Nisuin, or Nebuch, her husband died, and her Yavam gave her a chalitza between the Erisin and the Nisuin. He didn't go and marry her. Tosa says this is a big revusa. Over here. The top Tosa says, Lefarish de la revusa, not God. chalutza, because you might have thought the sokadai techaminah kiven the shomeres yavam lo mitzra knisa lechupa. He doesn't need a chupa. Shari yavam yavo le bal karcha. So you might have thought avamina the chenesuya dami. We consider her to be like a nesua. So the chiddush over here is even a chalutza who could have had relations without having a chupa, so we wouldn't know about it. So nevertheless, if she's claiming that she is from her erisin and never had relations, so then subasun masayim. She gets married to the next person, so then he also has to give her the ksuba of a basula, which is masayim. However, in this situation, even though she's previously married, normally a previously married woman doesn't have tainus basulum against her, but here she's claiming she was never fully consummated the marriage, so in this situation, v'yesh lahem tainus basulum. So the new husband, the second husband, would in fact be able to be towing. I didn't find basulim in this situation, because she is a basula, even though she'd been previously married, and now is an amana, grusha, v'chalutza, from Averson. Gemara starts off and tells us some derivations of words. Very interesting. My almana. What does the word almana mean? So Amar of Chana Bagdasar. Rashi reminds us always here that either he came from a place of Baghdad, or Rashi doesn't say here, but Rashi elsewhere always tells us that it means that he was a Baki in Agarata. And we'll see, Agarata includes also like word derivations, as we'll see. So Rav Chana Bagdasar said that the word almana means al shem mana. So because she has a ksuba of a mana, so that's why it's referred to as an almana. But the Gemara says, wait a second, almana min ha'erisin, Michael Meimar, so if she's an almana min ha'erisin, she gets 200. So how is it right to call her almana, only 100? So the Gemara says, no, I did ha, kari lo, almana, so ha nami, kari almana. Low plug, we call all women who are widows, whether it's from erisin or whether it's from nisuin, we call them almana. Even though you're right, if she's a basula min ha'erisin, she's entitled to 200, the 200 zuz, and not just the 100 zuz, the mana. But nevertheless, we call all widows almana. Where it says, still, almana d'ksiva b'raisa meichel meimar. The Torah uses the terminology almana, and we just learned early in the shiur today that even Rav Shimon Gamaliel, who was the opinion that ksuba is the raisa, said it's only for ksuba besula, but even a ksuba of an almana is the rabbanon. So what are you going to do about that? Almana d'ksiva b'raisa meichel meimar. How could the Torah refer to this if it's only a din the rabbanon? So Gemara says, no, the Torah knew that see the Rabbanon, the Mesachli, Lamana. The Torah knows everything, of course, and therefore it knew that the rabbis would institute this din. And therefore it uses this terminology already to refer to a widow. So Gemara says, really? Umi kosav krol yosid? Does the Torah presage, so to say, what's going to happen in the future? So Gemara says, yeah, and does this all the time. For example, the Chsiv, it says, by Gan Eden, Yishem HaNor HaShlishi Chidek Elhu, HaOlech Kidmas Ashur, there were the four rivers that it described at Gan Eden during the creation of the world, and it says that the third of these rivers was known as the Chidek El, and it goes and runs from east of Ashur, right, Kidmas Ashur, and on this Brisa, it says, V'tana Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says, Asher, when it says east of Asher, it means the city, Asher zu Sileka, the city known as Sileka. For me, Havoi, how was that city present at that time? It certainly wasn't. As Rashi points out, that this place, this city, didn't exist at the time of Maisa Bereishis. Tosafos says it could be even talking about it after Maisa Bereishis' time. The city wasn't in existence in any event. So, Elodasida, it's obviously going to be a city that's going to be talked about in the future. Yet the Torah writes about it, Hochanami Dasida. So, therefore, you see this presaging of what's going to happen in the future. So, to over here, with Almana, it could be the Torah is knowing that the rabbis will call it Almana. So, therefore, they called it Almana. Once we made a single statement of Rav Chana Bagdasar, so we mentioned a couple of other derivations from Rav Chana Bagdasar. Omer Rav Chana Bagdasar, he said, Matar, the word Matar, which means rain, means to be mashke. It goes and waters. Umirave, it goes and gives rivoy, which means saturation. Umizabel, it fertilizes the earth that it falls upon. Umaaden, it gives a certain luster, a beautification to the land. Umamshech, and allows it to continue. And in other words, to bring forth all the grain and the crops, etc., from it. So that's what the word matar symbolizes. Amar Rava by Rabbi Yishmael, Rava, who was the son of Rabbi Yishmael, said, or others say, Vitema Rabbi Yemer bar Shalmiya, it was either Rabbi Yemer bar Shalmiya who said this, Mikra, what's the source to support what Rav Chana Bagdasar said? He says, it's based upon this pasuk that we have from Tehillim, which tells us, Tlomeha Rave, its furrows in the ground will be very much filled up. They'll be saturated. Naches gidudeha, it will come and settle in nicely. Birvivim timogigena, it will, the rains will come and soften it up. And simcha tivarech, and then the growths will all come. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you will bless them. So this is the allusion to this idea of Matar doing all of these wonderful things. Amar Rabbi Elazar said, similarly, the word mizbeach can be used to tell us certain ideas about as well. It is meziach, means it moves away sins, umechabe, and it provides love, and mechape, and it atones. Rashi says this lashon of mechabe is es yisrael alavim. It brings us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By bringing korbanos, it brings us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the mezin, how does that work? Bischus HaKorbanos, ha'olam nizom. Because we bring these korbanos, the world is going to bring forth food and all sorts of good things for people. Shah korbanos boi min ha'mazon. Since the korbanos come from food, v'gar min l'bracha, and they bring a bracha on the food. And meziach means meziach avonos. It removes avonos. So the Gemara asks, "Hainu mechaper, hainu meziach." So Rashi says this is a lashon of "Hey ninu." Hainu means "Hey ninu." In other words, which one of them meziach? Hey ninu mechaper. Which one of them is mechaper? So which korbanos do what? So the Gemara says, "Meziach gizeros." The meziach means it removes certain gizeros that will be gozer rolls me'al Yisrael, as Rashi says, and mechaper is mechaper the avonus of Klal Yisrael. Another statement that Rav Chanan bar Zohar says, Rav Chanan bar Zohar, Tamrei, dates, they also have certain benefits. Mishachnon, they warm up the body. Masbon, they satisfy the body. Mishalshlon, they allow the body's bowels to go and be loosened up. In other words, they prevent constipation. And Miashron, and they likewise provide strength to a person. Velo mefankon, and they don't make you a mefunak. Make you a finicky person, right? Mefunak and finicky are very similar. They sound the same. They're spelled somewhat similarly in the letters, and I couldn't find the origins of the word finicky. Some suggest that it's an early Middle Dutch word, but it's very possible that this is one of those words that is the same in Hebrew and in English. In any event, the lo mefankum, these tamrim, these dates, will not make you into a finicky person. Okay. Amar Rav, Rav says, ochal tamarim al yora. Rav says an additional thing about dates. He says, if you've eaten dates, don't give a psak halacha, because it's going to inebriate you a little bit. Amazing. More questions. It says, really? It says, tamarim are very good. How can I say that they inebriate you? Tamarim shachas yarvis yofos. If you eat tamarim for breakfast and for supper, that's a very good thing. Bimincha, but you eat in the middle of the day, roast, then it's not good for you. However, if you eat them after you've had the lunch meal, ain't kimosan, then it's a very good thing, and there's nothing as good as that. And the dates are very good to remove difficulties of three things. Machshava ra, they remove bad thoughts that a person might have, daga, worry, v'choli miyayim, or intestinal illnesses, v'tachtonios, and hemorrhoids. So the dates are very, very good. So how can you, Rav, say that you shouldn't be yora halacha if you had dates? So what it says, Rav didn't say that they aren't good for you. However, they're so good for you. Since they're so good for you, they actually put you into like a giddy mood. They inebriate you to a certain extent. Just like wine. The Amamar, as the master has said, if a person has gone and eaten, drunk a certain amount of wine, a revius of wine, so then you're not allowed to go and paskin, because it changes your ability to think straight, right? We know that wine will change a person's cognitive abilities and will change their reflexes. So again, don't paskin. This halacha l'maisa, you're not allowed to paskin if you drink a revius of wine. Alternatively, you boy say malokasha, another way to reconcile this is as follows. Depends. Did you or did you not have it with bread? If you had it with bread, so then it's not going to be something that will inebriate you. But if you have it plain without having bread, so then it could inebriate you. The Abai said, Abai's mother told him, now again we know through Shas that Abai was an orphan. His father died shortly after conception and his mother died at childbirth, so the aim of Abai was really his the woman who raised him. She was like his guardian, his wet nurse, the woman who raised him. In any event, this woman, who he calls Aim throughout Shas, said to him, Tamrei mikamei namo, if you have the dates before you have the bread, ki narga ledikula. That's like taking an axe, and narga is an axe, and chopping down a palm tree. Not a good thing. However, bazanama, after you have the bread, so then, ki avra ledasha, then this is very beneficial. This is like adding a bar to a door. Avra is the bar to the dasha, which is the door, which we'll derive in a moment why it's called dasha. So in this way, it's very beneficial. Exactly what we just said. Now, what does the word dasha mean? The word says dasha, amarava, derech sham. It means a door because it's a play on the words derech sham. So it's a nutricon, like a shortened version of derech sham. It's called dasha. Why do we call something a darga? A darga is a certain ladder. So Amar Rava says derech gag, because it's a ladder that goes up to the rooftop. And therefore, darga is derech gag. It's a nutricon for that. Why do we call a bed purya? Because Amar Papa, sheparin v'ravin alav. This is the place where procreation occurs. So that's why it's called purya, from puruvu. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, can we turn to Yud Aleph Amun Aleph? Af Anu Noma, Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, we also can derive certain things from certain words. The word islandess, which we learned a lot in Yevamos, this was the derivation that we said there. An isle is, in Aramaic, a duchron, a male ram. So when a woman is an islandess, it's saying that she's like a male, duchroness, and that the lo yolda, she doesn't have the capability of giving birth. So instead of being a female sheep, she is like a male sheep. That's why the name islandess is like an isle, and therefore she's unable to have children. That's why they called her an islandess. With this, we conclude today's share.